what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Monday, July 6, 2026. Yeah, we got a nice new angle going, but really, I changed my setup because thank goodness Verizon showed up on Thursday. I have 2 gigabyte internet now, chat. Hope you're all doing okay. Hope you all had a decent weekend, Yankees aside. We're going to get into everything, break everything down from the weekend. Yanks, of course, dropped 2 out of 3 to the Twins. And really quick, we'll break down a bunch more than just the current positioning, but we are 4 games back at Tampa Bay for first place in the American League East. And they did lose 2 out of 3, so we'll go into today's 4-game set, exactly 4 games back. And yeah, we got 4 to play at the Trop. But yo, we got to break everything down. Hope you all doing okay. Hope you had a good 4th of July weekend. Again, Yankees aside, because the Yankees side of things absolutely sucked. But yo, we are going to talk about Aaron Boone today. We're going to talk about everything that is going wrong. We're also going to talk about, because I am a shill, why I still believe in this team. And yes, I do still believe in this team. And there's a big reason as to why. But we'll get on get to that towards the end of the show. I do want to break down really just how the weekend transpired, because, well, first things first, click like in the stream if you haven't already. It does help out a great deal. But yo, Friday was awesome. Friday was very much a return to the norm, where you have Grisham and McMahon return off the injured list. And the lineup on Friday is a lineup that has to be used, honestly, every single game, at least against righties going forward and in this series against the Rays coming up. It was our best defensive lineup. It was a lineup that, as we saw, created things on the base pass. You had Jose Caballero at short. You had McMahon at third base, Grisham in center field. And something we've talked about a lot is the defensive issues with the return of Grisham, not just because you have a true center fielder back out there, but you have Bellinger out there in left. Caballero no longer needs to be playing the outfield. He'll go back to being an infielder, ideally shortstop. And you had McMahon at third base. You had Goldschmidt playing first, Rice at DH. And it was just a really, really good game on Friday. You had Grisham in his first at-bat go deep off of, I forget even who was pitching for Tampa Bay, or the Twins, to be honest, Paredes. And you had a Rice 2-run shot. There was a lot of cool things happening with, like, Caballero stealing second base. You had an Austin Wells bunt, which was very nice to see. And the Yankees ended up winning that game, and it was like, all right, word, here we go. And then come Saturday and Sunday. Saturday was a total slop fest. Brendan Beck ends up getting rocked, and that was very unfortunate. I made a bet with Trevor Plouffe ahead of the game that, or ahead of the series, that $100 the Yankees sweep. And part of that was just, you know, having some show fun on Baseball Today. But truly, I believe in this team with the defensive alignment of Grisham in center field, McMahon back at third base. And a big reason as to why is that's where we get back to Jose Caballero being the shortstop. And the team that we saw early on, of course, Judge aside, he's hurt. But Friday was the first 2 months Yankees, just with the fact of, all right, Aaron Judge is hurt. We know that. But with Caballero at shortstop and everything looking the way it did early on, that was a baseball team that got me so excited, at least in large part of the baseball team that got me so excited in the first 2 months, because there's good defense. They're able to manufacture runs as well as hitting the long ball. I mean, right away, Friday was like, click, back to business. And it was awesome because our pregame caption on Yanks Ave with the lineup that I loved so much was back to business. Our postgame was the exact same caption, back to business. And you get to Saturday, and not only do you have Carlos Rodon hurt because, or not pitching because he has elbow inflammation. Apparently he's already throwing next week, by the way. So the UCL is intact. He's all good. But we are without Carlos Rodon, at the very least, of course, the remainder of the first half and probably a little bit into the second half. We may not see him until August. The main thing is always the postseason, which, yes, the Yankees are still going to make the postseason. The AL East is in jeopardy. The one seed is, I don't even know if we should keep talking about that the way they're playing, but I am a firm believer Yankees will make the postseason. So the main thing is get them back healthy for October. But point of here is very unfortunate to have to start Brendan Beck on Saturday, which he got absolutely rocked. And right away, I mean, from the second he started throwing, it was, you know, through one inning, it was 3-0 Twins. You had a couple more homers later on. By the time he leaves the game, it's, what, 5-0, 6-0. Yanks do end up putting together a nice little rally. I have some more thoughts on the pinch hitting decisions in just a little bit. But that I can get over. Brendan Beck is not good. He's a quadruple A pitcher. We know that. Triple A, his numbers are solid. He's a 7-2 record, a low 3 ERA, decent amount of strikeouts, very low batting average against. Like, Brendan Beck has had success at Triple A. But now in two starts, he has just not looked like a big league pitcher. That ultimately I can get over because, all right, Carlos Rodon got hurt. Things happen. I want to talk about the lineup, though, because Sunday and Saturday, we saw Volpe in there. Now, Saturday, Caballero didn't play at all. Sunday, they both played, Volpe and Caballero. Caballero was at third base. And this is something that indeed did piss me off because while I am a, by no means an Anthony Volpe hater, not in the slightest, it made sense at the time when you're without Grisham to have both Caballero and Volpe in the lineup. One, Volpe had been hitting a little bit. That's one thing. Two, you need Caballero to be playing all over. While it was not ideal for him to be playing in the outfield, while Grisham is out, it makes sense to where, all right, there's going to be a lot of days where Bellinger's in center field. That opens up one of the bench guys, Caballero or Schumann, to be playing left field. So with that, all right, you have Volpe. He's hitting. He hasn't been bad at shortstop. He has not been bad. But we know Caballero's a better double play turner at short, and that goes a long way. It made sense while Grisham is out to have both them in the starting lineup. But now that Grisham and McMahon are back, you see the lineup on Friday, which was perfect. It's like, all right, word, here we go. Kind of just like back to what Boone said a couple months ago when Volpe was first returning or whatever. Caballero was a starting shortstop. And you see that lineup on Friday, it's like, all right, this is how it should be. Well, the next 2 days, Volpe was at shortstop. Saturday, Caballero didn't play at all. And Boone said it's because he's been playing a lot, wanting to give him a day. Okay. Sunday, you have Caballero at third base, no McMahon. Now, that bothered me in itself. I don't know why McMahon wasn't in there. Now, Volpe was playing short because in his career entering that game, he was 6-for-12 lifetime off of Joe Ryan. All right, I can forgive that. My point here is, if we are going to die in this season, which we're going to make the postseason, but for right now, you're well within your rights to be concerned about that. We need to have Caballero at shortstop, McMahon at third base, Jazz at second base, center field Grisham, left field Bellinger, right field Dominguez until Judge is back. That is our best team defensively. That is a team that can manufacture runs. As we saw, again, not to keep mentioning Friday, but Friday was just so perfect because you had the right defensive alignment. You had that situation late in the game where McMahon doubles, Caballero drives him with an RBI single. All right, word. And I don't like deny that Volpe can absolutely hit. Offensively, this isn't even a conversation so much of Caballero versus Volpe when they're just in the box versus each other. Caballero is not prime A-Rod by any means. But he's the better defender at shortstop, particularly at turning double plays. And he also is, while aggressive, almost sometimes to a fault, the better base runner, makes more things happen. We saw that on Friday where you had him steal second base. You saw Wells with a very nice bunt get him over to third base. And then he was able to score on a Grisham sack fly, a sack fly that was not really all that deep, but Caballero slides in and scores. The Yankees are a better team all around with Caballero playing shortstop over Anthony Volpe. And again, I'm not a Volpe hater. But again, the next 2 days you see Volpe at shortstop, no Jose Caballero. And that does bug me. Again, I can forgive, all right, Saturday, and maybe here's where a little bit of the shilling comes in, but I don't consider it to be shilling. It's just an understanding of how the baseball season works to where, all right, Saturday, Caballero gets a day off. Reminds me a little bit of the 2021 to like 2023 Yankees, which was very irritating how often they would give guys days off. But it's like, all right, Caballero has been playing a little bit. I can forgive that. Sunday, Volpe career 6-for-12 entering against Joe Ryan. All right, fine. I guess I can forgive that. You want to give McMahon a day coming off being ill. Whatever. It's kind of BS. Make no mistake, where I'm at with this, while not being a Volpe hater by any means, I got to keep emphasizing that because people get weird about him. This isn't an anti-Volpe thing. This is just knowing what the better team is, and that is with Caballero at shortstop. Every game, with the exception of, you know, here or there, let's say 5 out of 7 days, Caballero should be at shortstop. And especially in this 4-game set coming up against the Tampa Bay Rays, where they put the ball in play, you're going to need your best defensive alignment. And not to mention everything else we talked about, where they're a better team. Now that everybody is healthy, you need Caballero playing shortstop. It should be a 1-9, exactly like we saw on Friday. Grisham, Rice, Jason, Bellinger, Goldschmidt, Jazz, McMahon, Caballero, Wells/Sanchez. And everything else already remains with, we need a catcher, we know that. Jazz has been an issue. We'll talk about more of the issues going forward, but one thing that really did bother me, at least a cause for concern, is like going forward, like tonight. tonight against the Rays, I'm going to say, oh, we better, because what am I going to do? Beat up Aaron Boone? That's funny when people talk, I better fucking see. What are you going to do? Are you going to kick Boone's ass? Like, okay, bro, like, go do it. Go do it, please. But no, we are a better team with Caballero at shortstop, and that is just an absolute fact. And now there's not an excuse to be playing Volpe over Caballero. Again, if he's on the roster, like, one day out of the seven, fine. Like, that will happen. But five out of the 7 days, minimum four out of the 7 days, it should be the lineup that we saw on Friday. And I almost, like, I don't want to lose a game. Don't get me wrong. I almost want to see them lose a game with the lineup that we saw on Friday. Because at least then I could stomach it a little bit. Anyway, Saturday, let's get more into that. Because Saturday, Brendan Beck gets rocked. And that put me in a bad mood, obviously. And, like, kind of ruined my whole 4th of July. But I'm watching the game every single pitch. And Yanks do begin to rally. And that was nice to see. You had the Jason Solo shot. Gets him on the board. They're down 6-0 at the time. Now it's 6-1. You had the Max Schumann, which was a great at-bat. 2-run shot. He goes deep. Makes it a 6-3 game. They continue to fight back a little bit. You get a Cody Bellinger RBI double. All of a sudden, all right, yo, it's a 6-4 game. And I'm thinking, we're going to win this game. Especially once you get to the next inning come, what was it, the 6th, where you get bases loaded, one out. Boone elects to pinch hit Ahmed Rosario for Ally Sanchez. Now, I completely stand by the pinch hitting decisions here. I think it made total sense in large part because when you're going to pinch hit Goldschmidt, you want to do it in a spot where if you're doing it that early, which I appreciated the urgency of how early they did do it, that early you do want to make it to where Goldschmidt stays in the game for a potential second at-bat, especially when this isn't a at-bat that's going to, per se, guarantee put you ahead. You're still down by two. So Goldschmidt with two outs pinch hitting for Grisham in the DH spot made total sense. And in the end, there were two outs. He couldn't come through. He's been struggling lately. He's 0 for his last 22. I can get over that. The at-bat that was absolutely despicable was Ahmed Rosario, who pinched it for Ally Sanchez. And he swings at a pitch way out of the zone. There was a couple pitches that went by, or one pitch in particular that he took that he challenged that was indeed a strike. The first pitch he went swinging and just flat out didn't get the job done on it. Goldschmidt, as we know, as we see here, didn't come through either. But the Rosario at-bat was absolutely brutal. And this is what it comes down to. We're going to talk about Aaron Boone, and I'll criticize Boone, no problem. But in terms of the decisions to pinch hit here made total sense, and they were totally valid. And I appreciated the urgency in doing so and the way that he went about it. Bottom line is, players have to come through. Rosario did not come through there, and that was absolutely devastating. Now, once that occurred, it was a thing where, all right, that sucked. I was pissed. It's still, at the time, what, a 2-run game, and it's, all right, you're through 6. There's still a chance, you know, you can make something happen. As frustrating as that inning was, you can still hold that hope that they would win that game. That's where we enter Camilo Duvall, and we are now at a point, and I know what people are going to say, Dan, we've been at this point. Fine, but realistically speaking, Camilo Duvall does have a track record of being a good major league reliever. And I liked this trade at the time that they did make it. You can't have him on the roster anymore. You just can't. This isn't a thing where, oh, Matt Blake. Well, Matt Blake hasn't figured out Camilo Duvall. Maybe some blame goes to him as well. But bottom line is, Camilo Duvall has been unpitchable. And is this a Boone thing? Here's our first instance of actually defending Boone, which I know is going to... We'll talk about the post-game interview a little later, but this is the actual thing about the uses of Camilo Duvall. Don't be mad Aaron Boone is using Camilo Duvall. Be mad that Camilo Duvall is on the roster. Now, they're not going to DFA him. From my understanding, he does indeed have options, and you're going to have to set him down. Although, the way those options work, once you have a certain amount of service time, is weird. So, I'm still figuring out exactly if they truly are able to send down Camilo Duvall. They're not going to DFA him. At the very least, postseason roster, which we'll talk about a little bit later, he's not on it. There's no world. Camilo Duvall is a lost cause at this point. I'm not going to blame Boone, though, for the way he's using him, because when is he using him? He's using him when we're already losing. He's no longer the setup man. He's no longer the 8th inning or 7th inning guy. He's using him when the Yanks are down by a couple runs. He's using him yesterday when we're already down by 5. And Duvall still ends up, granted, yesterday some rough defense that didn't help out his cause, but he walks in a run with the bases loaded. Camilo Duvall is unpitchable right now. And it's to the point where I'm talking about him in a way that I usually never talk about Yankees, which is that he's a bum. I have no interest in really defending Kim Lutevall because you guys know how I roll. It's a thing where, you know, I often only criticize effort because, you know, what am I going to say? Like, I probably wouldn't do too great a job either on the mound at Yankee Stadium. He has the woe is me shoulders, and he comes off like a B word when he's not pitching well. And I don't know if it's a thing where he just has a bad attitude in general, or he's one of those guys where, you know, he's only in a good mood if he's the official closer of a team, which if he succeeded in that role by the end of his Giants tenure, he probably never would have been traded. People talk about the deal being a bad deal because I saw somebody say yesterday, oh, he had a 5-year ERA, it was a bad deal from the jump. Well, so did Fernando Cruz with the Reds. Was that a bad trade? No, it was not. It has not worked out, though. And it's one thing for him to be pitching as poorly as he is and for him to keep getting into games, which I have no issue with the idea of him getting into games that are already a loss at that point. Like yesterday, are people mad that Kim Lutevall came into yesterday's game after we're down by 5? If you are, like, again, like, don't be mad at Boone for putting him in these low-leverage spots. Be mad that he's on the roster. But also, the woe-is-me shoulders, the sulking look that he has, he really comes off like a loser. And that's why I will talk about him in a way that I don't really ever talk about Yankees because of poor performance. And that is that Kim Lutevall is indeed a bum. And I want nothing to do with him. Like, going forward, it's not a thing where, oh, there's a light at the end of the tunnel where we can figure this out. It's a wrap with him. And a big part of it is the attitude, the body language that he displays. He's a lost cause at this point. It's a shame because, again, the deal made sense at the time. But, it's just, what are you going to do about Kim Lutevall? If you are truly able to send him down, if the options do work that way to where, all right, you can actually send him down, which I've seen conflicting reports on whether or not they're actually able to send him down. But it does show that he has options. Well, then you send him down. Do they DFA Duvall? He's under control for next year. I would welcome him back to spring training next year and like try to figure it out with a fresh start. But the point is, for right now, Phantom IL, option him if it's possible. They're not going to DFA him, but we know he's not on the postseason roster. He's not in the long-term plans for this year because he's just been absolutely abysmal. And his attitude doesn't warrant like me giving him the benefit of the doubt at all. And he had a few decent appearances in a row. And again, the defense didn't help him out on Sunday. It did not. We know that. But still, same with what we just said about the body language. It's like everything else that we've seen from Duvall, a bad error, I could be like, all right, that screwed Cam Schlittler. That screwed Gerrit Cole. I have no interest in like coming to the defense of Kim Lutevall because it has just been the overall body work absolutely putrid. And it's time for him to just one way or another be off the roster. So Duvall is ass. We know that. What else from yesterday? Oh, this drove me absolutely insane. Now, I've criticized Jazz a good amount. And we are now at least, almost 2 weeks past the point of the go-ahead home run where I said I would not mention Luis Arraez for the remainder of that week. Well, we're well past that now, and I will firmly put out there that, yes, I indeed want Luis Arraez to be a Yankee come the trade deadline. Giants, 1-year deal. It's an easy trade to make. He's a rental. He's been good defensively. He's been classic Luis Arraez, hitting well above 300. He's hit well with runners in scoring position, something that we know that Jazz has not done, even when he's done gotten well with the Yankees. Last year was a really good year for Jazz. He still hit 208 with runners in scoring position. This year, he's sub 200. He really brings down, granted, everybody's bringing it down lately, but the overall, even when Yanks are going well with runners in scoring position, which 3 weeks ago, they were top three team in baseball with runners in scoring position, their numbers get so heavily dragged down by Jazz's lack of ability to produce with runners in scoring position. But there's also the mental mistakes that come with Jazz. Something we talk about a lot is the highs with Jazz are very high. The lows are extremely low. And this play yesterday drove me insane. First of all, I was saying out loud, I'm like, Jazz, we doing this close on or close off? Like, his little, like, going back and forth with Joe Ryan while we're in the midst of this abysmal losing streak and just, not losing streak, but you know what I'm saying, like, this terrible skid. I know we went on Friday. Absolutely brutal. He finally gets on with a nice at-bat, though. And then immediately gets picked off by the catcher at first base in between first and second, gets tagged here, blah, blah, blah. Absolutely abysmal. And these are the things that drive me insane with Jazz to where it's like, yo, I want to like you. I really, really do. And again, the good with Jazz is really good. Like, when he came over, I loved everything about him. And I had brought up myself the idea of extending him. Things like that, Things like not speaking to the media last week. Things like turning his back on the media after being upset he didn't play against Boston last year in the wild card series. Or the post-game interview after Tampa Bay. Or forgetting how many outs there are. Or just times where he can look dynamic on the base pass. He is very capable of being a dynamic player. Terrific plays at second base. Then also a really bad error that is not like a, all right, every now and then it'll happen. I'll be like, Jazz, what in the world are you doing? And that was another one of those examples yesterday where it's like, Jazz, I don't feel bad for the way I speak about you anymore. I just don't. And to a degree, no, not to a degree, full throttle, firm certainty is I want Luis Arraez. But almost to the point where with him, like a play like yesterday, that getting picked off at second base, in between first and second base, the whole play, catcher to first. I'm kind of just done with Jazz too, man. Like I'm over it. It's like, it's one thing for these sort of things to happen, and it's like, all right, at least, you know, he has an 800 OPS and he's been playing great. Jazz's OPS is teetering on the verge of being below 700 OPS. And, you know, he'd been playing well for a while. From like May 1st on, he was doing pretty well. But now that's, you know, been erased by another bad 3 weeks. So ultimately, the overall body of work for his season has been very disappointing. Jazz is not a long-term Yankee. That was the case before plays like this, because his market was not going to warrant, you know, the Yankees truly being invested in him long-term. We knew that. It's to a point now to where it's like, if Luis Arraez didn't even exist, if the upgrade wasn't already out there to where I'm like, oh, I want this guy by default because he's just better, I would almost be at a point already with Jazz where it's like, let me find the upgrade that I don't already know exists in Luis Arraez, because I'm kind of done with all this crap is where I'm at. So, I mean, things like that, which are certainly, you know, accentuated by how brutal we're playing right now, and it makes it worse, but that's part of the conversation, you know. It's like, how do you let that happen when we're hitting the way that we are? How do you let that, first of all, again, the Joe Ryan thing where he's like smiling back and forth, it wasn't one of those cool things where like Caballero versus Skubal 2 weeks ago where like Skubal blows a fastball by him, Caballero gives him like the nod of respect and Skubal nods back. Like that's kind of like, I don't know if gamesmanship's a word, but like classic old 90s baseball in a way that was cool. Jazz looked like he wanted to like make out with Joe Ryan yesterday, honestly. That's the vibe that I got. And it's one thing, to be honest, like camaraderie like that with an opposing player where it's like you're smiling. Like, that bothers me anyways. But especially with the way we're playing right now, it drives me crazy. So while I'm not going to put him at the level of like Komodo Vol, who I truly borderline, again, body language-wise, I hate Komodo Vol. I just do. You guys know I don't ever talk the way about Yankees. I do not like Komodo Vol. Jazz, I do like you, which is why you piss me off so much. And I am indeed ready to move on. I want Luis Arraez. Very much I want Luis Arraez. But shit like that is what drives you absolutely crazy. Otherwise, Wednesday's game, I mean, that was a big game going into it. I already lost my bet to Plouf about the Yankees sweeping the Twins. And that, I told him, I'm like, Vegas would technically acknowledge that, you know, Carlos Rodon was supposed to start Saturday's game. And it was Brendan Beck. Doesn't mean Brendan Beck's the entire reason why the Yankees lost, although one could argue that. But in the end, like, Rosario doesn't do his job. Yanks fight back, but not enough. And in the end, Duvall blows that game. Yesterday was very straightforward and simple. Game you had to win, and the Yankees were just absolutely lifeless offensively. I mean, Joe Ryan shut them down completely. And I'll tell you, now, as he went on, as you'll see most pitchers, like when they get confident and like they're just starting to cruise, like they become better and better and better. I mean, that Caballero bat right there was absolutely brutal. There were some pitches where I like almost felt Joe Ryan looked hittable early on, and the Yankees just mounted absolutely nothing against him. They were completely and utterly lifeless. And that continues now a stretch of obviously putrid and terrible baseball, but specifically offensively to where the Yankees offense is, we'll put it like this. I mean, including the pitching, because the pitching has been terrible too. Weathers was not good yesterday. And apparently he was thrown up during the game. We know food poisoning has been a thing, which like, all right. Fine. Yes, the Yankees have had some food poisoning issues. Yankees have not received a quality start since June 24th. The offense and the pitching, just to put it all, the last 17 games, where they're 4-13 since June 18th, they've been outscored 91-47 in those 17 games. You could talk about the pitching. You could talk about the offense. I mean, the offense, honestly, is the main culprit here. But the pitching does not get, you know, an excuse either. I mean, Weathers has been bad. Rodon, we know now, is hurt. We'll probably see him maybe early August. It's not a big deal. Like, the UCL is intact, but losing him is tough. Whether you don't like Rodon or you do, I'm much more of a Rodon supporter. Not having Rodon right now is very unfortunate. And you'll probably see the Yankees, you know, work it to where you have Elmer Rodriguez starting in what could be the series finale against Tampa Bay. We'll see. Freeb, we know, is hurt. He'll be back probably to start the second half. He's nearing a rehab assignment. Cole's still finding it. Will Warren has seemingly regressed. And Cam is still awesome, but Cam obviously just recently got rocked by the Tigers. The starting pitching has been a problem. And the offense is the bigger problem, although I will say this one thing about the offense, who is not to be excused here whatsoever. And they're the main poster child of why things are going so poorly. Let me take a quick sip of my brew. Sorry. We're going to talk about the offense. The one thing I will not give them, but I do want to just acknowledge that it's not just black and white. Like, the pitching's a problem. The offense is a problem. The defense for a large part of the skid has been an issue, a big issue, very much, maybe even the number one issue. But now with the proper lineup, with McMahon at third, you have Cobb at shortstop, Grisham back at center, even with Volpe at shortstop, the issue there is you don't have the ability as well as you do with Cobb to turn double plays. But in terms of, like, despite the error yesterday, Volpe's not going to, like, cost you a game for the most part, more often than not, defensively, as at least one may suggest that he would. The defense should be much improved, but Cobb should be at short regardless. We know that. They have been down in a hole almost every single game, it feels like. Like, literally, I think maybe possibly every single game in this stretch, where they're 4-13 since June 18th, down 1-0 early, which almost feels like a blessing if it's only 1-0 that they're down that early. The offense constantly is fighting back from behind, which that is a problem. That changes at bats. So the pitching is to be blamed here. The offense is the main culprit. I mean, Cody Bellinger and Ben Rice just flat out have to step up. I mean, simple as that. And I do feel bad saying that because, but not anymore. Not anymore. I mean, you guys go through skids and guys go through slumps. Now it's to the point where it's like, all right, what are we doing here? Bellinger, 4 for his last 44. Ben Rice, 6 for his last 48. Paul Goldschmidt, God bless his soul, 0 for his last 22. We could use Giancarlo Stanton back. And this goes back to a prior conversation we had a couple weeks ago where it's like, oh, what do the Yankees do if Stanton comes back? And that was valid because there's more that goes into it than just offense. Like, Rice DHing Goldschmidt at first makes you a better team because the defense is improved. But in terms of those who are saying, oh, we don't need Stanton back, he should just retire, you are foolish if you think the Yankees do not need Giancarlo Stanton back right now. And his return would go a long way. More on that in just a second. But Goldschmidt, Rice, Bellinger, the main two being Bellinger and Rice, we need those two to step up, and they've just been non-existent for the most part. Rice showing some signs of getting better, but then also have a bad, like, yesterday he looked terrible against Orion. Jazz, we just talked about, has been bad pretty much all season long. Jason Dominguez has showed signs. He's shown glimpses, but he has not taken advantage of this playing time. Yankees are missing Judge. We know that. We know that. He'll be back probably in August. I want Giancarlo Stanton back to begin the second half, honestly. We don't need him to run. We don't need him to get fully... I mean, this sounds ridiculous because, like, ultimately I'm giving you a time span that should allow your legs to heal anyways. And I'm not a Giancarlo Stanton's made of glass. I mean, he is made of glass, but I'm not one of those ones that just, like, hates Giancarlo Stanton. But we kind of need you right now. And it would be very nice if all of a sudden we heard, come the second half, which we have one more week of the first half. We have 4 against Tampa Bay, 3 against the Nationals in Washington, and then the All-Star break begins on Monday, a week from today. Yankees play the Dodgers to begin the second half. I want Stanton to be like, screw it, yo, I'm activated. Because what do we need you to do? We don't need you to run. We need you to hit. Even when you're healthy, with all due respect, it's not like you run anyways. You jog. You can walk. I don't care. We could use Stanton back bad right now. We could also use Rice and Bellinger to start hitting again. Goldschmidt, all excuses. He's been so great, but he's in a skid. We know that. Jazz, I don't even know what to say about Jazz. Because Jazz, for all I know, will probably have a great game tonight or something. I don't know. Like, we'll probably have a game where it's like, all right, Jazz, like, that's awesome. Good job. And then tomorrow he'll go 0 for 4 with the worst 4 at-bats you've ever seen and probably make an error at second base and get picked off at first as well. I don't even know what to say about you. You guys know I want Luis Arraez. Could use Stanton right now. Could really, really use Stanton right now. The offense is a problem. Doesn't excuse the offense, but they're always coming down or coming up with a hole. They're already always fighting from behind, seemingly by their first at bat or their second time through the order. They're already down 3-4, 5-0. The pitching's been bad. The offense has been bad. The defense has heavily contributed to a lot of the losses we've had over the last couple weeks. Hopefully that will now no longer really be an issue. Bottom line is guys need to hit. Guys need to pitch better. And the 1-9 in this lineup should indeed be the lineup that we saw on Friday. So hopefully come tonight's game, that will be the case. And really every single game in this series coming up, because we got a 4-game set against the Rays starting up tonight. And the Yankees enter play 4 games back. And we are at a point now to where, I'm of full belief that this team will make the playoffs. Like, that's a thing I'm never going to do. I'm not going to, because I'm angry, pretend to be nervous about this team making the playoffs. And if they, God forbid, weren't to, we'll talk about it then. But I can't come on here and lie to you guys and be like, just to like be dramatic and like try to make a point that like this Yankee team may not even make the playoffs. I have no worries about that. The AL East is at stake. The AL East is in jeopardy with this series coming up right here. And if God forbid the Yankees were to get swept, which heck, you know, like, not out of the realm of possibility by any means. The AL East might, like, that. This just might determine the AL East this series. It very well could, and it very well will. The minimum here is to split with the Rays. Now, they just lost 2 out of 3 against the Astros. So, fortunately, we kept pace by not getting swept. We only lost 2 out of 3, and so did they. So, we enter play today 4 games back, beginning a 4-game series. The question I do indeed wonder about, and you guys know, I'm not one to blame Aaron Boone at all. Well, I shouldn't say at all. I disagree with him just about every single day. And clearly I have my points. But in the end, like, players need to stop playing like a bunch of B-words and step the hell up. Like, we always talk about accountability. I think they're grown men and they need to take accountability for themselves and just learn how to get out of this slide themselves as well. Now, this doesn't mean Boone's excuse. And I understand totally leadership in the room. And that's really what I want to get to here is whether or not I am putting this at the blame of Aaron Boone, or whether or not this truly is his fault or not, which I really don't consider it to be. And when we say, why? Because, for example, Camilo Duvall is on the roster. All these guys that are not performing are on the roster. 2017, I remember like it was yesterday, everybody would call up to say the same thing about Joe Girardi. We'll say the same thing about the next guy. And by the way, stop falling for those rage bait posts of a post-game quote about Boone saying Camilo Duvall is throwing the ball well. Is that annoying? Yes, it's infuriating. But that is what Aaron Boone was hired to do. That is why Joe Girardi got fired in 2017, is because he publicly called out Gary Sanchez. Aaron Boone will never speak poorly to the media about a player that is currently on his roster. And I posted about it a lot last night, and I phrased it entirely this way. Do you think Aaron Boone wants this bum, Camilo Duvall, on his roster? No, of course not. Absolutely not. But this is how things go. Boone will speak positively about a player to the media. Now, does he have to say he's throwing the ball well? No, I find it irritating too. But be mad about the real shit, the performance on the field. What he speaks about us, or speaks about his players to the media, to us, is fake. It's nonsense. It means absolutely nothing. And that's why he was brought on, in large part why he was brought on here, is to do the opposite of what Girardi did, which is not call out his players publicly. Trust me, I think it's bullshit too. That's very much an issue with the modern game in general. The next guy will be that way. Whoever was hired instead of Aaron Boone would be talking the exact same way. That's just how it goes. Unfortunately, but that's just how it goes. And these posts that are put out there with his post-game quotes about Camilo Duvall are put out there just because they know it's going to get you all riled up and you're going to react like wolves. And I get it. But that's how this is going to be. That is how Boone is going to speak about his players that are still on the roster. That does not mean he's not saying behind closed doors, yo, get your shit together, which I have no reason to believe he's not. And apparently that's what he does per Clint Frazier. Clint Frazier said it himself. Boone is a very different guy in clubhouse than he is to the media. He will go into players. He will go at them and tell them that, yo, you're fucking up here. But to the media, he won't tell us anything. He won't say a word about it. And that's kind of how things go, yo. It's like, you're having an argument with your wife. Do you like call her out at the party, or do you call her out behind closed doors when you get to the car? That's how things roll. You know, like, that makes total sense. Is it annoying? Yes, but it doesn't matter. What matters is performance in the field. What matters is what is said behind closed doors. And if you suspect Boone isn't saying the right things behind closed doors, fair enough, but please do not make that assumption based off of what he tells us and what he tells the media. That means nothing. And those posts are put out there to get engagement. I assure you, that's exactly what they are. Trust me, I am well aware. Anyways, whether or not this is Boone's fault, there is precedent here. If the Yankees were to get swept against the Rays, will I say Aaron Boone is deserving of getting his job taken from him? Is he deserving of getting fired? He can't be left wondering why. If he gets swept by Tampa Bay, and basically this is all happening again, if this collapse continues, or even just if Aaron Boone would be like fired today for argument's sake, which he's not going to be, he can't be left wondering why. How did this happen? Because there is precedent for this, whether it be the Phillies early in the season firing Rob Thompson, or the Red Sox and Alex Cora, the Mets just with Carlos Mendoza. At a certain point, tale as old as time is consequences. That's where I'm at with Aaron Boone. So while I pin this on the players, I pin this on, ultimately, not right now because I'm going to give him until the trade deadline, but Brian Cashman, year after year, what do I always say after we lose? I always suggest cleaning house. And something I put out yesterday is, do we truly believe that this roster, these rosters in general, in the Boone era, have been good enough? Because a lot of times what I'll see is people blaming Boone, but those same people will also push back and say, not push back, but like towards Cashman, they'll push back and say, this team isn't good enough, this team stinks, blah, blah, blah. Well, if the roster isn't good enough, then it can't be on Aaron Boone. If the roster is good enough, then okay, it is on Boone. But as far as I'm concerned, at least entering this year, I'll give him to the trade deadline. But I always point to Brian Cashman as the reason why we haven't won year after year. Now, there's also circumstances where players just don't perform. Like last year against Toronto, the Yankees get bounced. And that'll be another tally on Boone's record that Yankees don't win the World Series, and that's all because of Boone. They'll never win under Aaron Boone. Why do the Yankees lose against Toronto last year? Well, one of it was Max Fried gave up 7 runs in ALDS Game 2. Is that on Boone? No. Luke Weaver and the bullpen were ass against Toronto. Is that on Aaron Boone? No. It wasn't decision-making. It was guys that are supposed to perform, just did not perform. And then Game 1, who was starting? Luis Gil. Is that a Cashman thing? Maybe. Is it a Gerrit Cole wasn't healthy thing? Maybe. But sometimes guys just don't perform, or things just don't shake out in a way that aids the possibility of a team winning. And last year, Max Fried giving up 7 runs against Toronto. Is that on Boone? No, it's not. Now, Nes Cortez over Tim Hill, I hear you out on that. 100% I hear you out on that. But also, this is where I really get back to like how I feel about Boone. And any manager, I don't give a fuck about Boone, by the way. Excuse my language. I apologize. That was my one curse word. I apologize. He can be fired for all I care. He means nothing to me. Brian Cashman means nothing to me. All that matters to me is that. The Yankees. Boone's not the Yankees. Cashman's not the Yankees. None of that shit matters. Fire him. I could not care less. Boone means absolutely nothing to me. The players also have to step up and perform. And that's where I think we always talk about accountability. How about some accountability from the players? And they take accountability for their own lack of performance, and they start actually doing something. Max Fried last year, not to keep picking on him, 7 runs against Toronto. Is that Boone's fault? No. No. The Yankees not performing in October offensively? I'm sorry, as far as I'm concerned, that's on the players. And you think, no, it's on the manager, then all right, then why do you keep calling for Joe Girardi? The same thing happened under them. In his tenure, the Yankees would not hit in October. With all that said, the larger point here is whether you think it is Boone's fault, whether I don't think it's Boone's fault, that's not a reason to not fire a manager. And we've seen that time and time again. So do I think anything happens? No, I don't. But if they were to get swept by Tampa Bay, or even at whatever point it is, like if it were to be right now for argument's sake, Boone can't be left wondering why. How did this happen? Why did they get fired? Well, you're 4-13 since June 18th, and you might possibly at the end of this week be at the helm of a team that is going to blow their chances at a division. So whatever you think, fair or not, a lot of times managers getting fired isn't fair. but there is precedent, and we could be headed there soon with Aaron Boone if this does not turn around. I don't think they would actually do that, and he's under contract through 2027. But it is a conversation. It is a conversation. And I know what the pushback's going to be. Dan, how can you not see it? How could you not be blaming Boone for this? Because, like, to me, that comes off as weak. Like, I'm going to blame Aaron Boone for why Cody Bellinger and Ben Rice aren't hitting. No, I blame Cody Bellinger and Ben Rice. Am I going to blame Aaron Boone for Brennan Beck on Saturday shitting himself? No. You think Boone wants Brennan Beck pitching? You think Boone wants Camilo Vaughn on his roster? Or, like, Yankees lose to Tigers because Cam gets rocked, which, all good, Cam, shit happens. But it's, like, more of fire Aaron Boone. Like, is it Aaron Boone's fault that Cam still gave up six runs? Is it Aaron Boone's fault that Gerrit Cole was still recovering from Tommy John surgery or still working his way back to finding it from Tommy John surgery? No. Now, lineup decisions, bullpen decisions, I disagree with those things every single day. I did the same thing with Girardi. Dodgers fans do the same thing with Dave Roberts. The next guy that's in here as manager, we'll do the exact same thing with. I think we put too much stock into the importance of a manager. And every time we hear from a player, I mean, something Plouffe talked about all the time, like, way too much stock is put into the manager and his impact on exactly what a team does day in and day out performance-wise. But again, none of that matters because consequences are consequences, which is why I also, every single year, come season's end, suggest the idea of cleaning house, because consequences do exist, and I want consequences to exist. So trust me, if Aaron Boone were to get fired, there'd be no sleep lost on my end. Not in the slightest. In fact, I'll tell you right now, the idea of that would excite me because that means this is unacceptable. And that's why I always will be of that mindset come season's end, more so usually towards like Cashman. This entire regime is, this isn't working, this is unacceptable, and there should be consequences for this. And that's where I get a little bit egotistical to a sense where it's like, I want you to feel the errors of your ways, whether it's your fault or not. We haven't won, and I want somebody to be held responsible for it, whether it's fair or not. And that's, let's just say, if that were to happen with Aaron Boone, fine by me. Fine by me. But I'm also not going to act like a meathead and be like, this is Boone's fault, that's Boone's fault. No, a lot of this I don't think is Boone's fault at all. But anyways, it could get him fired. And I would totally understand it. And I wouldn't feel bad for him. I really wouldn't feel bad for him at all. And one thing that's interesting too is, I wonder if he thinks about this at all. And there'd be any part of him be like, all right, this may be headed a certain way anyways. I'm going to do it my way now. For all we know, if that's on his mind, we might see the most real version of Aaron Boone we've ever seen. But nonetheless, we know this has to turn around one way or another. This four-game set against Tampa Bay is pivotal. The one seed feels silly to even be talking about right now, which is very much still possible for them to turn it around. And I expect them to turn it around to a degree. The thing is, it has to happen like right now. Like right now. If we want to win this division, you can't get... I'm begging. I am praying for a split. Because a split used to be like, all right, we survived. And then you live to see another day. God forbid they get swept in Tampa Bay. I mean, that'd be an 8-game... the division would just about be over. One way or another, that cannot happen. And that's... I mean, looking at the bottom ticker now, we're only 9 games above 500 now, which is absolutely unbelievable. Crazy shit, yo. This is absolutely crazy. Got to turn it around now. Got to turn it around now. Now, I do want to talk about one more thing. Hold on. And that is, do I still believe in this team long term? I absolutely do. I absolutely do. I posted it yesterday on Twitter, and I put out what the postseason lineup should be if they have a minimum deadline of acquire a catcher in Ryan Jeffers, who started his rehab assignment with the Twins. If they get Ryan Jeffers and one reliever, here's our team come the postseason. This is why I still believe in what this team could be. Healthy, with Judge back, with Stanton back, with Fried back. This would be our offense, a lineup of Grisham, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Stanton, Jazz, Jeffers, McMahon, Caballero. Now, again, this is not my ideal trade deadline. This would almost be a deadline I'm still quite disappointed in, because I want Luis Arraez. I don't want Jazz playing second base come October, honestly. But the minimum deadline of catcher and bullpen, this would be our 1-9. Our bench would be Goldschmidt, Rosario, Schumann, Jason Wells. And the conversation still does exist of Goldschmidt or Stanton. But right now is a pro-Stanton argument time. Grisham, Rice, Judge, Ballinger, Stanton, Jazz, Jeffers, McMahon, Caballero. Rotation. Again, only trades made here, Ryan Jeffers, and a bullpen acquisition. Your four-man staff of Cam, Fried, Cole, Rodon. Your bullpen, Bednar's a closer. I have the setup man being via trade. And then Brent Hedrick, Cruz, Hill, Blackburn, Weathers, Will Warren. And I have slash Carlos Agranji on there. From what I'm reading, it's still very much possible that he could be on the team come October. But with that said, obviously not a foregone conclusion. He's hurt with the shoulder injury. There's also Clark Schmidt coming back. Point is, this team with this lineup, is it perfect? No. Would this be a trade deadline that I'm happy with? No, it wouldn't be. This is the bare minimum trade deadline. A catcher acquired in Ryan Jeffers and one reliever added. With everybody healthy, I'm sorry, this team can and should get to the World Series. It just absolutely should. And the main reason being, I still believe heavily in the four-man staff of Schiller, Fried, Cole, Rodon. I want Arise. I want Scooble. I want way more than just this. The minimum, though, is catcher and bullpen. As long as those two are required, which that deadline, I will give Cashman probably a C-plus on, by the way. But the floor of what this team could be with that minimal trade deadline is a team that, yes, I still do believe in. Now, certain things have to be managed the right way, as in on the roster, and that'll be a Brian Cashman thing, because Boone doesn't control the roster. Volpe should not be starting at shortstop. Volpe actually isn't even on my postseason roster. But this 1-9, Grisham, Rice, Judge, Ballinger, Stanton, Jazz, Jeffers, McMahon, Caballero. Is it perfect? No, absolutely not. I don't want Jazz as my second baseman come October. But with the bench of Goldschmidt, Rosario, Schumann, Jason Wells, and this pitching staff, Cam, Fried, Cole, Rodon, a bullpen acquisition, at the very least, the floor of this team is one that I do still believe in very easily. And looking at that makes me feel a lot better. But also, I firmly believe we're going to make the playoffs this year. I firmly believe that. That wasn't the plan, yo. Like, that wasn't the plan. The plan was to win the goddamn American League East. And that is at stake right now, starting tonight. So we're going to leave it there. We have much more time to discuss the trade deadline, which is less than a month away now. But for now, yo, we're just going to keep it here. We got a four-game set starting up against the Rays tonight. And we got to make sure we split. You got Cam the Bump for game one. Let me give the full pitching matchups. You have game one is Cam versus Griffin Jacks. Game two is Will Warren, which, Will, I need you to step up, bro. Need Warren to step up versus TBD for the Rays. Game three is Cole versus McClanahan. Cole, need you there. We'll see how the Yankees do against the lefty McClanahan, who is dangerous. And Yanks, unlike early in the season, Yanks have really been struggling against lefties as of late. Game four for the Yanks, for the Rays, they're facing Drew Rasmussen, who's been great. Game four for the Yanks is TBD, which is Rodon's spot. We'll see what they do there. Could be Elmer Rodriguez or, I don't know, we'll see. But for now, let's do this one day at a time. We'll be live for the entire series. Reminder, if you haven't already, please do click like on the stream. Helps out a great deal. We're live every single day, Monday through Friday. Probably going to do a set 8 a.m. start time with these shows this week. Live Monday through Friday here on the Yanks Ave YouTube channel. Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that. Live Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. That's to do this episode, yo, but I'll see you guys later for game one against the Rays. This is a big one. This is a big one. If we want to win the AL East, got to make sure we split. And we got Cam the Bump tonight, so we got to make sure we win game one. That'll do this episode, yo. I love you guys so much. Hang in there. I do still very much believe in the final product of this team, but for now, can't even worry about that just yet. Task at hand is don't get swept. Task at hand is win tonight, game one against the Rays at the Trop. That'll do it, yo. I'll see you guys next time. Let's go, Yanks.